Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Today, it is my privilege to have a very, very experienced advertising veteran, Prabhakar Mundkar, with me. Prabhakar, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ashutosh.
Prabhakar has led and worked in virtually every major advertising company. To name a few, JWT, Havas, YNR, and Haku Hodo. He is an author. He's a blogger. In 2016, he was the top voice on LinkedIn. And interestingly, he enjoys music programming, jamming, and film editing. Prabhakar, what would you say are three key milestones in your life or career?
So obviously, the first milestone for me, unlike you, I'm not an MBA. I did my MA in econometrics. Okay. And I was living off the rupees 120 pocket money, which my dad, who was a poor naval officer, gave me.
Okay.
And my first desire was to liberate myself from the 120 rupees.
Okay.
You know, so, and jobs weren't easy for non-MBAs those days. I don't know how it is today.
Mm.
And largely we looked for jobs on the Times of India appointment columns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it used to run into a few pages.
Yes.
In the late 70s when I started working.
Okay.
So my, I think, major milestone was just getting a job, first of all. Because that liberated me in many ways from the bondage of being, you know,
correct,
a student or an ex-student still living off his father.
Yeah.
I was very, very anxious to get away from that, you know, cage. So that was the first line milestone, I think. The second milestone really was that I joined advertising. I joined an account management or client service, as they call it, which is meeting clients and so on. But I always had a keenness for strategy.
Right.
And I think my CEO at that time, Mike Khanna, recognized it. And in we had successively failed in introducing strategic planning in the organization, largely because we used to take in a lot of MBAs. And people who came in as planners were seen as enemies.
Right.
I said, listen, we can think, you know, we did our MBA.
Yes.
Are you going to teach us strategy? I mean, we already know it. So as a result, I think
a lot of MBAs came with a chip on the shoulder.
With a chip on their shoulder. Said, you can't teach me, you know, to think, you know. I was popular. I was, you know, accepted by everybody in the organization. And I frankly didn't have a chip on my shoulder, I think. So my CEO said, you know, if you had strategy planning and you're good with strategy, maybe this department will take off.
Okay.
And please feel free to recruit whoever you want and start it off. And I did.
Mm.
And I think if I look at, therefore, the first 12 years, that was my first break, so to speak, of starting something new within our company and making it successful.
Right.
The third was really I went to work overseas. And like you said, you worked in Singapore. I think working outside India does give you a different kind of a perspective on what is happening, you know, because, you know, you interact with people all over the world, different races, different countries. And somehow I felt that it broadened my perspective of the world. Because whatever it is, I mean, I do respect Indian managers and what we're doing in India. But, you know, sometimes what is missing is your understanding of how the rest of the world works.
And I've often said, you know, that no matter how big a market India is,
yes,
a stint overseas suddenly makes you realize that the world is much bigger than the Indian market.
Absolutely. And, you know, you also, I think it's not just the work, but it's also living, isn't it? When you live overseas, it kind of broadens your perspective. I was thinking of it during this COVID times, when people were finding it difficult to even collect their newspaper or put their garbage out. After all, this is daily living in Europe. Nobody is going to go and, you know, I can't do without my maid, and society is fighting about it. You don't have a maid, you know. So it does kind of, as an overall experience, it opens up your mind to a lot more things, I think.
So, Prabhakar, let's talk advertising, a world that you have spent such a long time in.
Yes.
And how, in your opinion, has advertising changed over the years? I mean, I remember in my IPC days, Kokun Mukherjee used to be the advertising manager.
Yes.
And I always thought he had the most glamorous job. He was always out in parties, and I used to be in finance in those days, and I used to say, I wish I was in advertising. How have you seen it change?
So, yes, I think it did have that kind of reputation of, you know, having vodka martinis for dinner, very much like James Bond and, you know, parting with models and all. But frankly, I think that was a veneer of outside perception that, you know, the world had about us. It's just hardworking and as simple as the banking industry, or, I mean, as boring as it can get. But I think the world has changed. The advertising world has changed. And today, often, you know, we tend to laugh a bit at, or the modern advertising man tends to laugh a bit at this Mad Men era. But in many ways, that was the golden era of advertising. I mean, imagine, you know, and there were great people there, you know, David Ogilvy and Bernbach, and, you know. And
so on. The most iconic ads came out.
Iconic. Imagine trying to sell a German car called the Volkswagen Beetle post-World War, which is a German car. You're trying to sell it in the US. And, you know, so I think it was a golden era. And from a business point of view, it was one single unit. They said, oh, why should we have media under the advert? Let's make media a separate function. Let's make this a separate function. Let's make creative a separate function.
Right.
And while it might have made business sense, I don't know if it made business sense at that time, but it started breaking the soul of what I feel, you know, the advertising agency was.
Correct.
And it broke down our remuneration, because as an agency, you earn 15% commission. Wasn't great, but, you know, allowed us to, you know, lead a healthy life. I mean, go overseas for training and, you know, do things, do workshops and all that. But once we were told that, you know, media is separate, this is separate, then that 15 started getting broken down into smaller and smaller portions. And I think that hurt the advertising agency more than anything else. And then it became a small fraction of what it was. I don't envy the people who are in advertising today. I mean, I wish they could have seen the golden days.
I agree. So having said that, you know, one is the agency has started to change.
Yes.
How have customer expectations started to change from their agency?
So, I think, you know, the world, I think, generally has changed, and that has affected customers as well. I get the feeling that we are under much more pressure today as businesses to deliver than we were 20 years ago. You know, a little fall in revenue and our stock takes a beating. You know, I mean, take this Titan thing that happened day before.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
A small thing like that and the Titan stock fell. And as business guys, you have to watch that also, you know, because you owe it to your shareholders, you know, to make sure that, you know, you can deliver, you know, So that is one. But secondly, I think, you know, a lot of focus shifted from marketing to people in the buying department. I don't know how to put it. What are they called these days? I mean, purchase, buying, all that, you know. So agency contracts were no longer made by marketing people.
Okay.
We used to sit, I'm talking even 15 years ago, across the table, people who were buying experts and who were negotiating fees with us. You know, and the feeling I always got, maybe they got a great deal for their company. I always got a feeling that they didn't understand our business.
Okay.
You know, marketing understood our business. They didn't understand our business.
Very true.
I think that changed. I think, I don't know if it's the world, I don't know if it is marketing, I don't know if it is business, but we have become extremely deadline oriented.
I agree.
You know, everything is wanted like tomorrow night, tonight, you know. So all this, I think, has changed. It was easier since I've seen the previous days. I think it was much easier.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, you know, you and I are of a similar vintage.
Yes.
when we were growing up, it was print and television.
Yes.
Today, print and television is there, but there's social media.
Yes.
How are the traditional formats of advertising adapting to the new platforms?
Yes. So I think print and TV are still doing reasonably well in India, but as you know, in the UK and in the US, they have fallen very badly, and it's largely digital media. One of the things that has struck me as an advertising guy is that what I see on social media, the kind of communication I see, seems to be more like information. Whereas in the old days, this game was about persuading people.
Correct.
It was, it was about, tickling you. It was about making you laugh. It was about, inspiring you to buy something. Right now, when I see an ad, it's about, it's, okay, this car has this engine and so take a call. So there is no element. I think the element of persuasion is missing in the advertising that I see on social media.
Very interesting. That's very well put. Very well put.
Yeah.
Tell me, Prabhakar, you spend many, many years, you were telling me, running accounts for other companies.
Yes.
What is involved in nurturing a brand from the time it is launched through a cycle?
So, traditional thinking. Yes, I mean, I'm taking, now I know it's outdated, but you heard of the AIDA model, awareness, interest, desire, action. So, I mean, I'm just taking it for simplicity, but in the first stages, I think, of a brand or when you launch, you're looking at awareness and interest, which is the first two steps of that ladder. And largely, I think what the brand has to say to the people is, who am I and what do I do? So, and you will find that you look at the V advertising right now. All it said was that Vodafone is now V. So who am I? I used to be Vodafone. Idea. Now I'm V. This new entity is typically where it stops at or a little further. But once you get into the bottom two stages of the AIDA ladder, which is desire, which importantly desire, then you also want to tell consumers, why buy me? There are these many, many other offerings. I told you who I am and what do I do. And now I'm going to tell you, why buy me? Now, sometimes that why buy me is an emotional benefit or it's a rational benefit or, like in food products, it's a sensory benefit, that you offer to consumers. So I think those roughly, simply put.
No, very interesting. Right? So one more question, you have seen consumers across ages.
Yes.
Over the years.
Yes.
This is the age of the millennials and the Gen Zs.
Yes.
What is your appreciation of the millennials and Gen Zs as consumers?
So I think a lot has been made out of it, and it's almost become a buzzword to say millennials and millennial marketing. And if you look at purely from the demographic point of view, then India probably has the largest number of millennials compared to anywhere else in the world, I think. But as a group, I feel that people still tend to look at it in demographic terms. And so they say, people who are up to 35, which is really what we used to describe in our days as a demographic. 20 to 35 is a demographic.
Correct.
So I'm a little skeptical about how marketers are using, the psychological attributes of this target group to market to them. I'm not sure. Certainly media consumption, they say, these people are digital, they're 24 hours a day on the screen, one screen or another. I understand all that. But, what aspect psychologically are you tapping into? I find that a little questionable always when I see stuff. But talking about it, yes, everybody's talking about it.
Very interesting. So let's move to another part of our conversation.
Yes, sure.
let's talk about your passions. Mm-hmm. Music, your books, and your blog.
Yes.
So let's start with your blog. Tell me about...
My mother used to tell me that I would make a good writer. Mm-hmm. At some point of time, I don't know why she said that, and so did my wife. But I never took it seriously, and I was too busy, frankly, to think about writing. You know how it is when you know it. You hardly have anything to, any time for anything.
Absolutely.
And definitely no time for things like writing. Mm-hmm. After I retired, I thought I'd give it a shot. And I started writing in 2015.
Okay.
And once I started writing, something happened within me. You know, as if a switch has been put on, you know. I felt like writing every week. I started writing 2 times a week. I started writing 3 times a week. It became a high, like a drug. And then before I knew it, in a year's time, I had, done 100 articles or something on LinkedIn. And I was attracting huge crowds, you know, 4,000 likes, 50,000 views, you know, that kind of stuff. So it really got me going. I realized I'm some kind of a writer.
Mm-hmm. Well done. Absolutely.
And of course, LinkedIn doesn't like articles anymore. So I don't write there, but I do write for trade publications. Or a business world, or, you know, an advertising publication and so on. And I don't write as often now as I did. But sometimes something flares up, like the Tanishq issue, and a journalist calls me and says, do you want to write about it? I say, yes. And I then roll out an article in 2 hours.
Wonderful. So then you also, you know, started a new show called Turning Point.
Yes. So Turning Point was an inspiration. What I noticed it, and some of my best friends, maybe, and now I notice from what you told me about yourself, even you, made a career shift somewhere halfway through. You know, I mean, if you went from ITC to planes, that's not easy, or engines. You know, I mean, that's a huge shift. So I found that a lot of people had made that shift. I myself never made that shift. I think I didn't have the courage, frankly. I think I was too comfortable in advertising to want to give anything else a shot.
Yeah.
So I always admired people who did. I always admired people who, one of my friends moved from advertising and became an investment banker.
Mm.
And another one did something dramatically different.
Mm.
So Turning Point is a show about people who changed their careers somewhere midlife and made a great success.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
And I'm on my third episode, which will be releasing this week.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And you're also writing music, you're jamming.
Yes. So that part, Ashutosh, I used to be a teenage musician, and I was a HME and Polydor recording artist in the late 60s and early 70s. I cut a few EPs and EPs and singles and so on. And then came, you know, studies and a steady job.
Mm-hmm.
No time at all.
Yeah.
But suddenly, and especially during the pandemic, I found the time and the inspiration to go back to something I used to love.
Wonderful.
And so I made a fair amount of music videos in these last 6 months.
Are since you March. Playing, or are you playing an instrument?
I play the guitar.
Guitar, okay.
I used to play piano. I'm a qualified pianist. I did my grade 8 from the Royal Schools of Music, London.
And where can people see all this music?
Right now, it is hiding on my YouTube channel. Yeah, I'm not as, I'm sure my channel isn't as popular as yours, but you know, it's early days. So I'm hoping that, you know, it'll get better.
I'm sure it will grow. So let me move to the last segment, which is some questions for you personally.
Yes, sure.
Prabhakar, you've had such incredible success.
Yes.
Where did you draw your inspiration from?
I actually am interested in a lot of subjects, from philosophy to science. And I read, or at least I read voraciously. And I found that a lot of my inspiration came from fields other than mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always stumped when a young trainee asked me which books to read on advertising.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, instead of advertising, do you want to, you know, read a little bit about physics and science or philosophy or something? Because I felt that, you know, there's a lot of cross-learning that happens between disciplines. So the more disciplines you're familiar with, you take inputs from that.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true. Very interesting. My next question is that, what does success mean to Prabhakar?
So to me, success means being the best at what I'm doing. I've never measured success in terms of fame or money. As a result, I think I'm neither famous nor rich.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, but when my head touches the pillow, I go to sleep. I'm a happy man. I just want to, I just like to do the best I can. You know, that's been my definition of success.
Fantastic. So I have time for two more questions for you.
Yes, please.
If you were a role model, millions of children who closely followed your life choices, what is the one thing you would change in yourself?
So I am a little concerned about where the world is going and where the earth is going. So I am concerned about the way we will leave this earth for future generations. I'm worried about the pollution in Delhi. I'm worried about pollution in other places. And so I have become a little more conscious than I was. Of course, thanks to also the younger people, including my daughter, who tells me not to leave the tap on when I'm shaving. She said, "Daddy, don't waste water." You know, I mean, but you know, we've grown up with the water running and, you know, the brush and the razor easily under it. So I am worried about things like climate now. I'm worried about air. I'm worried about pollution. I'm worried about water and what happened to Hyderabad day before yesterday. And these were things that I wasn't aware about and I didn't care about till 10 years ago. So if I were to relive my life, I would have been more particular about these things.
Wonderful. And my last question to you.
Yes.
Back to the pandemic.
Yes.
How are you rethinking your life? The new world order.
So one of the things I did was, I'm actually very well read on the pandemic, right from the time it started. In fact, my wife calls me our local Dr. Fauci,
okay,
because of my knowledge.
Wonderful.
But so it started with fear, like I guess everybody did. But I mean, without looking at it from a medical point of view, and in our book, if you ever care to read it, I felt that this was going to be a long drawn out thing. You know, people are, how long will it take even India to, you know, vaccinate 140 crore people? So now in the last 2 or 3 months, I've come to the conclusion that we must get back to a little bit of normalcy. Yes, with caution, with abundant caution. That is the way I think. Is the way forward for me, at least.
Well, Prabhakar, thank you so much.
It's been thank you so much, Ashutosh. It's a real privilege to be on your show. I never thought of myself as a brand. I like the name of your program.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast. Platform that brings you knowledge, experience and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.